Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, L. Martin, on this Thursday, August 3rd, 2017. Yes, the week is flying by. I really hope you guys are having a great week as the weekend is just right around the corner. Throughout this hour of WKAR's Current Sports, we will say happy birthday to arguably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. I think you know who I'm talking about. We'll get to that. Also, a few articles have been written about the man's 40th birthday that are very interesting and really speak to his greatness. So, sorry, MSU fans. We will salute Mr. Tom Brady, Michigan's finest. Also, details from the Michigan State sexual assault football report. The report has been released, and of course, it has a lot of redactions. However, there are many details that have come out that the public did not previously know about. So we'll talk about that report, and we will also welcome to the studio our very own Current Sports intern and reporter, Jacob Herbert, who profiles a certain Lansing Lugnut who is absolutely ripping it up for the Luggies this year. You do not want to miss this conversation. And, of course, we will have an article that will be posted via WKAR.org from Jacob concerning that very player right after today's show. You don't want to miss that. It is also Thursday, and you guys know each and every Thursday we love to educate all of us when it comes to sports history. We dub it Throwback Thursday, where we hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened on today's date in sports history. And we will talk about Conor McGregor, who is prepping for, of course, the biggest fight of his life against Floyd Money Mayweather later on this month. Conor McGregor looks, though, to be making some progress, according to his camp, even sparring with former boxer Paulie Magnagani. You don't want to miss what Paulie had to say concerning his 12-round sparring session with Conor this week. So that and more. If you want to be a part of today's show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at Facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on the air. And also tweet us at WKAR_sports, at Al Martin, WKAR. So much to get to. As always, let's start, as we customarily do, with your current sports quick hit headliners. Much like a fine wine, Tom Brady, quarterback of the New England Patriots. He keeps getting better with age, doesn't he? The five-time Super Bowl champ turns 40 today, August 3rd. Happy birthday, Tom. And he really hasn't shown any signs of slowing down in his past 15 years as starter in New England. He has quarterbacked the Pats to 7 Super Bowls, the most by any player in NFL history. He has also been honored with 4 Super Bowl MVP awards, also the most by a single player. The accolades are just the tip of the iceberg for Brady, and whether or not you like him, he is one of, if not the greatest athlete the NFL has ever seen. Certainly, in my book, the greatest quarterback of all time. We will salute Tom Brady for his 40th birthday in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Former Cincinnati Bengals star Chad Johnson, a 6-time Pro Bowler, he visited the Michigan Wolverines team facilities on Wednesday. The man they call Ocho Cinco. He was decked out head to toe in the maize and blue. He met with Coach Jim Harbaugh. He got a workout in and even spent some time on the practice field. But the real reason that Johnson was in Ann Arbor yesterday was for his daughter, who is competing in the AAU Junior Olympics in track and field. Of course, before the visit to Michigan, Chad also noted that he wants to work out with the Detroit Lions. I wonder if that's going to happen. All right. The University of Michigan added 3-star defensive back Sammy Faustin to their committed list yesterday for the 2018 class. He's 6'2", 185 pounds. Faustin can play either corner or safety at the next level. He ranks number 870 in the 247's national composite and as the number 78 cornerback in the class. Faustin picked Michigan over offers from Maryland, Arizona, Iowa State, Kentucky, East Carolina, and more. Michigan is now up to 13 commitments in his 2018 recruiting class. 4-star linebacker Cameron McGrone, of course, as we talked about in our headliners earlier this week, he has also committed. All right, the MLB trade deadline has come and gone, and the Detroit Tigers were unable to trade ace Justin Verlander. But GM Al Lavilla still has one more option when it comes to making a possible deal for JV, and it took action on that option on Wednesday when he placed JV on revocable waivers. Now, here's what that means. A player claimed on trade waivers can only be traded to the team that claimed him. A player who goes unclaimed on trade waivers can be traded anywhere. Trade waivers are completely revocable. So if a player gets claimed and his team wants to keep him, they can pull him back. They also could let him and his contract go to the claiming team for nothing. Just like a straight waiver claim, right? Hey, a lot to take in. A bit confusing, I guess. But one of the main reasons that JV is still in the D is that no team wants to take on that massive contract. So it is very unlikely that a team will make an offer. If the Tigers were to make a deal with a team, it most likely will come in the winter. All right, yesterday's Tigers and Yankees game took all day. Yes, the game started 1 hour and 26 minutes late. Then, after 7 innings, another delay. This one lasted 3 hours and 11 minutes. A lot of rain in the D last night, or yesterday, I should say. When it was not raining, Tiger starter Jay-Z, Jordan Zimmermann, he turned in a solid outing as he allowed 6 hits over 7 innings. He struck out 6 and walked none. It marked the first time since last June in which he pitched 7 innings in back-to-back starts. The Tigers jumped on Yankees righty Masahiro Tanaka early, recording hits on 3 of his first 5 pitches. An RBI double from Justin Upton opened the scoring in the first inning. Then in the fourth, James McCann hit a single to center, scoring Mikey Matuk. The Tigers went on to win the game and take the series. The Tigers, in winning that game, also snapped my ESPN streak for cash. So thank you, Tigers. When I bet on you, or when I put something on you, you always come out with a dub. So maybe I should work out some reverse psychology when it comes to my ESPN streak for cash account, right? All right. Nashville Predators captain Mike Fisher has decided to retire. He decided to go out on top with the Preds, reaching the Stanley Cup final. In his final season as a Predator, Fisher had 42 points in 72 games and played a vital role in the Preds reaching that cup final. Rather than hang on for too long and potentially force the Preds into an uncomfortable cap-related decision, Fisher called it a career today with a letter to Nashville fans that ran in the Tennessean and on the team's website. Tickets for the Detroit Red Wings preseason games at the new Little Cedars Arena will go on sale at 10 a.m. tomorrow. The Red Wings will play 4 preseason home games at LCA beginning September 23rd against the Boston Bruins. They also
play preseason home game September 25th against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins in September 28th versus the Chicago Blackhawks before concluding their home exhibition schedule with the first half of a home-and-home series against the Toronto Maple Leafs September 29th and the 30th. And former heavyweight world champion Wladimir Klitschko has retired from boxing, ruling out a rematch with Britain's Anthony Joshua. The Ukrainian, who's 41 years old, knocked out in the 11th round by current champion Joshua at Wembley Stadium in April. Joshua had hoped Klitschko would sign his rematch clause for a proposed fight in Las Vegas on November 11th. Klitschko said, quote, "I have achieved everything I have dreamed of, and now I want to start my second career after sports." Wishing you well, Klitschko. Really looking for, though, that dynamic heavyweight to really take the reins of the world of boxing, because as I always stated, boxing needs a heavyweight champion if it does want to get back to dominant relevance. I think Floyd Mayweather would have something otherwise to say about that, though, right? All right, wish you well in your retirement, Klitschko. Also, wish you well, Mike Fisher, in your retirement. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at Al Martin WKAR and at WKAR _sports. Let's start the show. Tom Brady. Yes, it is August 3rd. And on this day, 40 years ago, Tom Brady was born. In my opinion, the greatest quarterback to ever do the thing. Unbelievable, right? Tom Brady, you know, he's dominating the press right now. Tom Brady coming off a huge Super Bowl victory over the Atlanta Falcons back in February. And, you know, I was reading various articles this morning that are saluting the GOAT. And there are so many cool stories that have never been told before. ESPN actually has an article on its front page at ESPN.com that talks to many individuals who played with Tom, are still playing with Tom. His head coach, Bill Belichick, weighs in, and they all tell never-before-told stories about Tom Brady and their favorite memory. And I really like Bill Belichick's story, who is the Patriots head coach. He has been for 17 years now. Bill Belichick tells a story. You guys know I'm a big golf fan, so I found this to be very humorous. But Bill tells a story of when he played golf at Pebble Beach with Tom Brady 2 years ago. And Bill goes on to say, quote, we played golf 2 years ago on the sixth hole. It's a big cliff. He's literally standing out there on the ledge trying to hit the ball. The caddy is holding him so he won't, like, tumble 300 feet to his death into the Pacific Ocean. It's a golf ball, but I think that's kind of that's the kind of competitiveness of Tom. I'm sure there's a picture of it. I'm thinking to myself, what the heck are you doing? End quote. Also, Brian Hoyer, who is a former Michigan State quarterback. He was with the Patriots from 09 to 2011. And he tells a very interesting story about Tom Brady chugging beer. Just to read this quick excerpt from Brian. Quote, we played up at Buffalo and we couldn't fly back into Boston because the weather was so bad. So we had to stay the night in Rochester. We drove there. We all decided we'd go out for dinner together. Tom being who he was, he usually couldn't come to a team event like that. We might be at Capitol Grill and he's sneaking to the back door and then people realize that he's there and he has to then leave. But this was impromptu at Dinosaur Barbecue in Rochester. The whole team is there and it turns into a beer chugging contest. He goes on to say, you have Lyman, Julian Edelman. They all think they are going to win. Then someone says, our Tom is really great at chugging a beer. We don't usually get to experience him like this, but we finally coax him into doing it. He does it. And let me tell you, you could not have poured out the beer faster into a glass. It was unbelievable. And he slams the mug on the table and puts both fists in the air. He walks away with a look on his face that said, you really thought you were going to beat me on this? The place went nuts, end quote. So that's coming from Brian Hoyer, former Michigan State quarterback, Patriots quarterback for 2 years, telling a beer-chugging story as it concerns Tom Brady. And there are multiple. There are so many. I really had a great time rolling through these countless stories that really speak to the competitiveness of Tom Brady, that really speak to his character. You know, Charlie Weiss, Patriots offensive coordinator from 2000 to 2004. Charlie told a story of how, you know, he went through gastric bypass surgery and he had flatlined multiple times, was dead technically. And Tom spent the weekend with Charlie in the hospital along with Charlie's wife. And ever since that moment, Tom has been very close with Charlie, his wife, and the family. And, you know, many, many stories are profiled throughout this. You know, even Tom Brady Sr., his father, tells of a story when Tom was, you know, 4 years old. They were competing in a father-son golf tournament, and Tom wanted to hit the ball left and right. You know, it's alternate shot. So, you know, the son hits a ball, and then his pops hits a ball. You know, it's alternate shot. And there was a two-inch putt, and Tom, again, 4 years old, four-year-old Tom Brady, he got up with his putter and hit the ball 60 feet away while taking a big divot out of the green. And he asked, his father, of course, asked him why he didn't just tap the ball into the hole. It's 2 inches away from the cup. And he said, I just wanted to hit the ball hard. So there's countless stories, but salute to the GOAT, Tom Brady. It's amazing that Tom Brady now is 40 years old and he is still competing at the level that he is. You know, it's quite remarkable that this dude is turning 40 years old today, and just a season ago, just a few months ago, Tom Brady won yet another ring. So, you know, the big debate going around many sports water coolers out there is how much longer can Tom Brady do this? Because as we all know, I mean, when you turn 40 years old, my gosh, you are well past your prime, and you start to see really a downtick in the careers of many athletes, let alone those who are football players, let alone those who play the position of quarterback, the position in the game of football. You are the brainchild of the offense. So how much longer can Tom Brady do this? Crazy. And, you know, Tom Brady, you know, he's joining a select group of quarterbacks who played in an NFL game after their 40th birthday. You know, there are many on that list. Matt Hasselbeck back in 2015, Mark Brunell back in 2011. Of course, Brett Favre, who we thought was timeless for a long time before he decided to call it quits. He did so back in 2010. Brad Johnson back in 2008. Vinny Testaverde back in 2007. Doug Flutie in 2005. Warren Moon back in 2000. I mean, there are not many that have been able to play quarterback in the National Football League after their 40th birthday. And again, you look at Tom and you just your jaw drops at what he's able to do. He's so good and still so efficient that you forget about his age. Again, he is essentially timeless, as it was put in the headliners. I mean, he's like a fine wine right now. It's really unbelievable. But as Charles Barkley likes to say, there's only one undefeated man in the world of sports. And that man is Father Time. Eventually, we will see Tom Brady. And that's going to be a tough pill to swallow for the football world, especially those diehard New England Patriots fans. Eventually, Tom Brady will start to show that age. Eventually, Tom's body is going to say, you know what? I'm checked out. I'm 40 plus years old. I can't do this anymore. I just don't know when that's going to be. And I think that, you know, if you look at the careers of those who have been able to play the game of football, the quarterback position over 40, you usually see just, injuries happen. A lot of injuries happen. And that's usually how many athletes who play into their 40s. That's how it usually happens. I mean, their bodies just can't put that wear and tear anymore, especially a game as physical as football. And then injuries start to happen. And then their body is basically saying, hey, you need to stop this. And then you see them retire. So if I had to guess, again, I'm just throwing out a number here. If I had to guess how many years Tom Brady will play, I would say probably give Tom two more seasons. That's what I would say. And it's a big maybe here, a big hefty maybe, maybe three. But I can't see Tom playing. I mean, what did he go on the record to say? I think like something like 5 years. He wants to play for five more years? Nah. I can't see a 45-year-old Tom Brady out there still slinging the ball around for touchdowns. That's just, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So if you had to guess, Isaac, and, you know, only time will tell with this answer, but I'm going with two seasons. How much longer can Tom Brady do this?
I think he's got 3 years left in the tank, and I think they'll be successful years. This is a guy who routinely runs 40-yard dashes at paces slower than the offensive lineman on his team. So athleticism is not the concern here. It might be overall health, but the fact is he's still got his legs because he never needed much of them. He's still got his arm because, let's face it, while he's got a great cannon and his accuracy is almost perfect and everything like that, it's never been that either. With Tom Brady, it's always been decision making. He's mastered it. He's got this game down to a T, just like in that golf story. He knows how to just hit it out of the park pretty much. I mean, every yeah. single time Tom Brady steps up behind center, he knows what he's going to do, and he knows what the defense is going to do. Every quarterback's got their own shtick. Tom Brady's is just being a savant when it comes to the game of football. He understands the ins and outs of every single defense. He calls audibles, sure, but he doesn't do it like Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the accuracy, the pinpoint accuracy of Aaron Rodgers even. He doesn't. If you look at that, fact is Aaron Rodgers can fit a ball into a tight space much better than Brady can. But what Brady does is he plays safe, he knows his personnel, and he knows how to manipulate the offense and the defense at the same time. He's just got the game down. But as much as I'm crazy about Brady, I've got to say, Al, I thought we went a little bit over the top possibly with the Stevie Wonder intro.
Hey, man.
I don't love him that much. I love him like you do.
How can you not love Tom Brady, though? I mean, this is the great.
I like him.
I admire. I've always been a sports fan that no matter what team the dude plays for. Again, I went to Michigan State. I'm an MSU alum. I bleed green, dude. I try not to let that blood drip over your speakers every time you hear me because I try to stay non-biased as a sports reporter and a sports
broadcaster. And you do a good job.
And I try to do a good job at that. However, you know, no matter what team the dude plays for, what school the dude might have gone to. Our biggest rival here at Michigan State is U of M. That's where Tom Brady played collegiately, right? I've always been a guy who just admires greatness. You know what I mean? Even LeBron James. I've never been the biggest LeBron James guy. At some point in my career, I know, right? It's shocking, right? But at one point, many people used to label me as a LeBron James hater. But as his career has gone on, I respect his greatness. I respect that LeBron James is the best player on the planet. So for Tom Brady, I mean, much like everybody who watched this Super Bowl in February, right? I was sitting there. I was in Arizona at the time, and I'm saying, there is no way that Tom Brady leads this New England Patriots team back from that deficit. And as the game goes on, Tom just orchestrates one of the greatest comebacks in Super Bowl, arguably the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. It goes to overtime, and Tom ends up hoisting the Vince Lombardi trophy. So that's why I decided to go all out, because I respect the dude so much, and it's so fascinating. And when reading these stories, have you read this article that ESPN has put out?
I didn't read the same article you did. I read a similar one.
There's multiple out there. The ESPN one is so cool because, it talks about, Tom, and you really get to see Tom as a person and how crazy competitive he is. And a lot of these stories kind of like, and this will add to the legend, much like, the Jordans and the Magics and the Larrys and the Jerry Rices, the goats to ever do it. Stories like this add to the legend, but some of these stories are just so cool about how crazy competitive he is. And just, this is the thing that I think why Tom may last three seasons in the league is because Tom Brady is so smart.
Yeah.
He is so pinpoint. He knows where everybody is on the football field. And, there's a story in this article. Again, you got to check it out because some of these stories are not only hilarious, but they're so insightful as well. But, there's a story in which Bill O'Brien, Patriots quarterback coach and offensive coordinator from 07 to 2011. He talks about a time where, they're sitting down watching film. And I'll just read the article here really briefly. My favorite story about him has to do with his memory. I don't remember the exact time of the year, but we were playing Buffalo. I think it was 09. We are in a meeting and we're watching Buffalo's first and second down tape. I'm talking to them about what the Bills defensive coordinator was doing. And Brady basically knew who the coordinator was because he had faced him earlier on in his career, about 5 to 6 years prior. So he says to me in this meeting, I remember we ran this play against this scheme called Crunch Stock in 2004. I said, you remember that specific play? He said, yeah, I remember it against the specific coverage, which this coordinator loves to play. It was on the right hash going away from the lighthouse, and we hit Troy Brown for a big game on the crossing pattern. I said, there is no way you remember that play like that. He challenged me to pull it up. We have all the games on the computer system, and we find that game, and there's the play on the right hash, second and less than 5, going away from the lighthouse. And he hits Troy Brown on a crossing pattern. Think about all the plays he had between that day and the day we were talking. Apart from his talent and competitiveness, I always tell people, that is what sets him apart. He has an IBM. He remembers it. I love that story because that is what separates the elite quarterbacks from the good and great ones, right? And those are the same stories you hear about the Peyton Mannings of the universe. I mean, heck, the Joe Montanas. Their thought process as quarterback was just on another level, and that's what makes Tom Brady so good.
And that's across any sport. You can always tell a premier athlete if they have a photographic memory because they memorize every single thing that they do, every single action they take. It goes into this database. It's like if you've ever seen the show Sherlock, he's got this mind palace and he just puts every single thing he's ever encountered into it. Tom Brady does the exact same thing on the football field. He's played now for, it's got to be what, close to, not exactly, but it's close to 20 seasons, maybe 18 now, something like that, I believe. And now that he's played for that long, he's just got such a recount of defensive schemes. Like you said, he knows the defensive coordinators he's playing against. He knows their strategies. Mm-hmm. And he's been able to do this with a pretty consistent offensive line throughout, but that's a credit to him because he took the paycheck to make that possible, to allow New England to keep them around. But I always say, I remember when New England was top of the league. Really, it seemed like nobody could beat them. I don't think they won the Super Bowl this year, but their best receiver was Andre Caldwell. So while I tease you about maybe playing a little Stevie Wonder under Tom Brady, because I think that's more music for your boo than for Tom Brady, but at the same time,
it's a happy birthday song.
I hear you.
It's
hear you.
Baby, I want to.
What I'm saying is,
take you out. You know what I mean?
No, what I'm saying though is Stevie Wonder would be a top five receiver in the NFL with Tom Brady as his quarterback.
I like
that's just how it goes. Tom
Brady
knows this game. He knows his personnel, and he's got all sorts of unquantifiable smarts and attributes that go into this game that make him the greatest of all time.
He
nobody comes close
for sure. I totally agree with you. Before I hit this first break, I want to bring up new details from the Michigan State football sexual assault case. It came out yesterday via a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request, concerning Demetric Vance, Donnie Corley, and Josh King, nearly 2 months after they were charged with sexual assault on campus. And the Michigan State University Police released a report of the incident. Now, it's heavily redacted. There are many things, as you can imagine, that are, you know, blanked out. And I will say, though, there are a few details of the report that hadn't previously come out, of course, because we did not have the report, the report you can hold on your hand and just kind of just go through it and read it. We did not know the details because the details are just now coming out due to this FOIA request. Now, it's 228 pages, and again, highly redacted. And get this, the list of witnesses interviewed are more than 106 to be exact. All of the names are taking out, are redacted, so we can't say, oh, blah, 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 was interviewed on this specific date. You know, we don't know who was interviewed. However, police eventually interviewed at least 13 football players and at least 7 men's basketball players. At least 7 trips were made by police to the Duffy Doherty football building to interview players and coaches. The men's basketball players were interviewed on March 7th, the day before they left to participate in the Big Ten tournament, and a series of women's basketball players were interviewed 2 days later at the Breslin Center. Now, again, this alleged incident took place at a party at University Village Apartments. So, and even an Uber driver was interviewed in this report. Now, from building security camera footage, police identified 133 people who were in the University Village apartment building between 12:30 and 4 a.m. on the night of the alleged incident. That is, you know, when I first read that, I had flashbacks to my college days, actually. I used to live in an apartment complex right off Abbott Road back when I was a student at Michigan State University. And I remember we had a party that was kind of similar. Man, Isaac, we went hard back in college, man. College days swiftly passed, dude. And we had a party that was similar to that amount of people, and gosh, that was we would never do that again. Almost got in big trouble for that during my college days, right? But 133 people on that night between 12:30 and 4 a.m. Party attendees interviewed were asked to review all 133 photos and identify anyone that they knew. In addition, people who were at the party were shown a Michigan State football player roster by police and asked to identify which players that they saw while at the party. Those players were then identified and then interviewed. As the report goes on, police first searched Josh King's dorm room in Case Hall on January 26th, seized clothing, 2 iPhones, 2 iPads, and other items. The report at the time showed that Donnie Corley was King's roommate, and he voluntarily left the room during that search. But then police returned at the beginning of February, February 8th to be exact. This time, search warrants for Corley and Demetric Vance were now suspects, and they found that Corley had his room actually reassigned by MSU football and no longer lived with King. Police later asked a football staff member about the change when it came to Corley and King being roommates, and that response
was taking, well, I should say redacted in the report. During the search, police seized more clothing and an iPad from Corley and Vance, who were taken into custody that day and released. And then it goes on to, you know, profile that on February 8th, police went to the Michigan State football building to interview four coaches. The report notes that at the time of these interviews, it was believed all four coaches obtained information related to this incident and slash investigation and were therefore identified as witnesses. As we know from the Jones Day report, only one member of the staff, former recruiting director Curtis Blackwell, only Curtis Blackwell was said to have violated school policy regarding the alleged incident. And also, Josh King, there is a recording, there is a video of the alleged incident. And Shannon Smith, King's attorney, said that the videos on King's cell phone will show that the alleged act was a consensual encounter. She said that police were unable to access those videos. The police report does not contain any redacted information about police attempting to access videos. According to the police report, officers spent time in April interviewing multiple people who received video messages from King that were of interest to police. There are also references to a search warrant being conducted on username accounts, suggesting that videos were possibly sent through a social networking service. And what King's attorney, what she's arguing here is isn't it ironic that a video of the encounter, which that blows my mind in the first place, but that video is what could get King, Corley, and Vance off the hook in this whole thing, possibly, as the case plays out. Wanted to bring those details to you if you did not know. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Jacob Herbert, current sports intern and reporter who profiles a certain Lansing Lugnut who is having quite the year. Don't go anywhere. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Brandon Jacobs at halfback.
You are so far from Brandon Jacobs, it's not even funny. Okay. I met him at a Lifetime Fitness in Atlanta. You look nothing like him. On the quick! Now I get to be Brandon Jacobs. I'm more like, who am I like? I'm more like, oh man. Maybe Eric Dickerson.
More like Emily Dickinson.
Emily Dickinson. Nice burn. Nice burn.
So this one now.
She was a great poet. Oh, that's good water. I hit the spot today. Two hydrogens and one oxygen. That's the recipe for good water. I've been kind of razzed for liking Creed a lot.
Creed.
You know? But I was joking. You know, when I tweeted it, I said today Creed was played at the team lift. Today was a good day. And I just got killed. I mean, people came out of the woodwork. Like, I knew I hated this guy. He loves Creed, you know? And I'm like, Creed was all right, like in seventh grade.
Oh, I gotta love that. It's my first time hearing that. Kirk Cousins sounding off on the music group Creed, along with many other topics, as he was mic'd up during Washington Redskins preseason training camp. Gotta love Kirk Cousins. There was another, I believe it was like, was it last season when Kirk was mic'd up? And, you know, he's like, everybody celebrate together as a team.
It was,
right?
It was.
Oh, my goodness. Kirk Cousins, you know, he's got such a great, we didn't get a chance to really see that type of personality when he was here at Michigan State. I mean, he was never mic'd up.
No.
During a game.
He was just the consummate gentleman.
Yeah, just a great gentleman, a great interview. You know, he certainly, you know, wears his faith and spirituality on his sleeve. And, you know, just one of my favorite athletes to cover. He was always a joy to interview. He's very, he's got a great command of the English language as well. I mean,
he's
just a really good dude. And, you know, I'm happy for him. You know, he's the first quarterback now in NFL history to get the franchise tag in back-to-back seasons. He, of course, is going to have yet another target on his back to try and live up to a hefty long-term deal if he wants one. But that is very funny. Very funny stuff there. Thanks to Jacob Herbert for cutting that bite up for us, Isaac.
That was great. And it always surprises me whenever I think of Kirk Cousins. I can't get this out of my mind. But he's kind of one of those guys. We talked about how competitive Tom Brady is.
Right.
Not to unfairly compare the two in any sense. But you remember when Kirk Cousins got thrown out of that celebrity football game, like a flag football game? He got tossed. He was ejected.
I barely remember that. What happened? Did he argue with the referee or something?
I think he was
like
cursing out the ref. It was so out of character for Kirk. It's hilarious, yeah. But it just shows that he... It's funny because he obviously has an off switch in practice, but I guess once the actual game starts, he's just like any other quarterback.
No, I absolutely love that. It's always cool when you get to see kind of a behind-the-scenes look at any sports team. And by the way, I also want to use this as a quick plug for a show that I am just obsessed with. I don't know if you guys have seen Last Chance U. Did you watch the first season at all? Jacob, have you seen it as well?
No, I saw some of it, yeah.
You're making me want to watch it, though.
Oh, my gosh. Season 2 has just come out, and it profiles the best JUCO in the nation in East Mississippi Community College. They have won multiple national championships. They're coached by a very controversial coach in Buddy Stevens, who loses his mind, one of the most intense coaches, probably the most intense coach I've ever seen in my life. They have him mic'd up. The Netflix documentary crew, they get unprecedented access to everything, and I do mean everything. They are there at pre-halftime speech, well, pre-game speeches, halftime speeches, post-game speeches. They're there at the players' houses, in their dorm rooms. It is unbelievable, but, you know, it's always cool just to get insight. I love sports docs, and I love that extra insight that some teams allow you to get. All right, Jacob Herbert, speaking of insight, you are going to provide some insight concerning one of the top names in the Lansing Lugnuts minor league baseball system here in mid-Michigan. His name is Edward Olivares, and he is having a great year. You got a chance last week to sit down with him and kind of pick his brain about the monster season that he's having. For those that don't know and haven't really been following the Lugnuts like that, can you talk about Edward Olivares' season and what type of year he is having currently?
Yeah, well, I kind of profile it in my article. He's had an up-and-down baseball career from the time he was 18 years old and was playing with the Blue Jays in the Dominican Summer League. And he got off to a really rocky start this season. I believe just 2 months into the season, he was batting 169, had something like one home run and only three doubles. Mm-hmm. And he has recently taken off. And the whole reason I wanted to profile him was because our friend Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who's the play-by-play guy for the Lugnuts, sent me game notes. I told him I was interested in doing a story on the Lugnuts. He sent me the game notes, and through reading them, I found that Olivares is leading the Midwestern League in nearly every offensive and defensive category, and if he's not, he's in the top five. So
what a turnaround, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this just an uptick? When did this uptick begin to happen for him this year? I mean, was it midway through the season? Was it after the All-Star break? I mean, is it in the second half of the year? When did this turnaround start?
I would say probably halfway through the season. I mean, he's always preached consistency and you know, battling through baseball players. It's a long season. This is his first time playing more than 50 games in a season. And he's never played, you know, he's probably never been cold before. That's one of the things. I was talking to one of the coaches, experiencing the different weather, the different atmosphere. That was probably something that hindered his ability to perform, because he's a great baseball player, obviously. Mm-hmm. But once he gets used to the surroundings, the fans, his teammates, obviously you're seeing that take off, and he is on fire right now.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's so crazy that it's already August and we are a day away from just a month left in the Lansing Lugnuts season. They had a great first half. Right now, when you look at the standings, as I noted earlier this week, they are among the league's worst, or the conference's worst right now in the Midwest League Eastern Division. Only the Dayton Dragons, I believe, have a worse record. But that's due to many factors. I mean, in your article, you also profile Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., two players that we talked about in almost nauseam earlier this season with Jesse when he came in studio to talk about how the year had been going. So you lose two great bats like that. However, you know, there's still some great talent in this farm system for the Toronto Blue Jays, and Edward is one of those players. What was it like, though, sitting with him? Because, you know, to talk about his background, he's from Venezuela, right?
He is, yep.
And he went from there to the Dominican Republic Summer League?
Yes.
How did he perform during that time, and how old was he? And how old is he right now?
He's 21 right now.
Okay.
He went to the Dominican Summer League. He was 18 years old.
Right.
I mean, at 18, I wasn't anywhere near. I was, like, sitting in my room playing video games and eating chips.
Yeah, but anyways, for a high-profile athlete, right?
Yeah. He played 40 games in the Dominican Summer League with those Blue Jays, and he proved, even at that young age, that he was well worth the pick, you know, the Blue Jays taking a chance on him. Mm-hmm. He batted .314, drove in 22 runs on 44 hits, and he's speedy, too. He swiped 12 bases on 15 attempts, so he only was caught three times.
Right.
So he had a very impressive a year with the Blue Jays and the Dominican Summer League.
Definitely. And, you know, you talk about his journey, Jacob. When sitting, again, I don't want to spoil it all right now,
right,
but briefly hinting on that transition from playing baseball overseas in Venezuela, you know, then the, you know, Dominican Summer League, right, where he did have a great 40-game stint, as you just stated,
mm-hmm,
and then coming to play ball here in America, where I believe he went to Florida first?
He did, yep. Golf, the Gulf Coast League.
The Gulf Coast League. What was that transition like for him, and what was the biggest difference in playing overseas ball as opposed to here in the U.S. of A?
Yeah, well, him and I actually talked about that a little bit, and one of the main reasons he told me was the game is the same, obviously. The mm-hmm. game's the same, the way it's played, mostly the same in Venezuela as it is in here. But he had to get used to an entirely new surrounding. I mean, he was 19 years old
right.
when he came over here, a completely different country, different culture,
yeah.
different weather, different everything.
Definitely.
And that really, like as I mentioned earlier, that really hindered his ability to play baseball. But, I mean, like every good baseball player does, he waited it out, and it's obviously paying dividends.
Curious, with a player coming from overseas like Edward, as many prospects do, who are great and are tearing it up in leagues overseas, emotionally, when you leave your family and you leave your comfort zone to come over to the United States to play baseball, I mean, that's the dream for a lot of these players. That is, athletics are their way out. Baseball is their way out. I mean, emotionally, how is he doing, you know, coming to Lansing?
If he's struggling, I couldn't tell. I mean,
the numbers don't say anything, right?
Yeah, the numbers definitely don't say anything, and just the way he acted. I mean, I was able to when I first got to the ballpark last week. Mm-hmm. Jesse and I went down, and he and a couple of his teammates were taking batting practice in the cage, which I'd never been back there before. Like, I've never been that up close and personal. Like, mm-hmm. these guys are playing only single A ball, but any way you cut it, they're professionals.
For sure.
And
yeah.
So I got to see him down there with his teammates. And he just seemed like your everyday, you know, they were joking around, hitting the ball, having fun with the coaches. And if he's struggling emotionally, I couldn't tell. He does a really good job of not showing it.
I know there's no specific timeline when it comes to prospects being called up, but if you had to put your finger on the pulse of that very topic, how soon do you think we could possibly see Edward move up, or do you see him possibly staying another year here in Lansing?
I think, and I talked to hitting coach Donnie Murphy about that, and I asked him, I said, you know, with Bo and Vladimir leaving, how soon is Edward to following in their footsteps? And he said, definitely, I mean, he's obviously going to be the next one. His stats are showing that to make the jump.
Right.
But it probably won't happen this year. It'll probably take another year or two just to, so he can get more used to playing here and you know, now that he's hitting and contributing, you know, maybe it's time for him to be a little bit more aggressive and really figure out who he can be as a baseball player. So he's going to make the jump. It's just, it might take a year or two.
Definitely. I mean, and especially with just a month left in the season anyway.
Yeah.
And for you, this is your first time sitting down and doing it. I've never done an interview like this, but sitting down with a translator. He was with one of his teammates, I believe, right?
Yeah.
When you sat down and interviewed him. What
yeah.
was that like for you? Was that kind of awkward waiting on that, you know, question to be asked after you ask it in English and then getting a response back? I mean, what was that like for you?
I didn't know who to talk to
right.
when I addressed my questions, you know.
So you're looking at him, but you're looking at his teammate.
I didn't know whether I should look at, because like you said, this is the first time I ever did an interview with a translator. And
yeah.
it was his teammate.
Yeltsin Gudino?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm glad that you took the lead.
I got your back.
So yeah, so I didn't know whether to address the questions to his teammate or to him. So I ended up addressing most of them to Edward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was difficult because I mean, I've never translated for someone before, so I don't know how hard it is because Edward gave me these long, you know, well thought out answers, and then his
right.
translator had to, from memory, say everything that he said, you know, that Edwards said to me.
Exactly.
So it was
or
just,
summarize it. In
summarize
a way, right?
it. Yeah. So I probably didn't get the exact quote, but it was.
But you quoted it.
Yeah.
You quoted Yeltsin from what he translated from
Edwards. It was a great experience.
Definitely. All right. Well, again, Jacob's profile on Edward Olivares will be available in about an hour or two via WKAR.org. You don't want to miss it. All right. Thanks a lot, Jacob. Let's
share
our final break. When we come back, we will have Throwback Thursday for you. What exactly happened on this particular date in sports history? We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have just under 10 minutes left in the show. Isaac, you have two pieces of breaking news that I think our listeners will find a bit intriguing, right?
Yeah, both related to basketball. So, of course, my pleasure to bring them to you. But the NBA unanimously actually approved the Detroit Pistons move downtown to Little Caesars Arena. So the Pistons finally will be back in the D. Of course, this is a move that's been long awaited, but at the same time, it's faced a little bit of conflict because of different tax issues. And, of course, it required this approval of the NBA as well. But now those hurdles have been cleared. Mm-hmm. And then EA Sports is bringing back their franchise, NBA Live. It will now feature WNBA teams. That's a first.
That is very. Did they give a reasoning behind that in the article?
Not that I'm seeing just yet. I only saw the headline, but at the same time, I think they're trying to broaden the market while at the same time recognizing that women's soccer, which was introduced to the FIFA video game series, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. was actually a pretty big hit. So I think they're trying to capitalize on that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, video games are marketed to, of course, teenagers and younger, right? Especially sports video games, even though I need to get me an Xbox or PlayStation.
I've been telling you.
I need to do it because it just to get a release from work, you know, especially when
during the
sports
summer.
Really pick up, you know, I just need that release, dude. So I miss playing, you know, getting on the joysticks and playing, you know, my respective, you know, 2Ks and Maddens and whatnot. But anyway, you know, it's when I was younger, that's, to be honest, that's how I really fell in love with sports. Playing video games with my dad on the weekends or when he got home from work, you know, playing Madden and playing, you know, NFL Quarterback Club. People don't even remember that game. And playing, you know, NBA Live, which was bigger than 2K at the time. Mm. Playing those video games taught me a lot about sports because playing the video games, you learn a lot about the game and how it's called, how it's officiated while on the joysticks, and you get to learn the teams and the names. So it's marketed to young kids, and we all know the struggles of the WNBA have been profiled heavily over time. The ratings are nowhere near that of the National Basketball Association. Heck, women's sports, women's professional sports across the board here in America have continually, you know, been behind the ball. Pun intended, when it comes to popularity. And any marketing is good marketing when it comes to a league like the WNBA. So maybe this will provide a bit of an uptick when it comes to just our youth getting interested in the WNBA. Now, don't get me wrong here. Just by making the WNBA available in video games, that's not going to tremendously affect the market. However, this is a move in the right direction. I like it a lot. All right, well, just under 5 minutes left in the show. I really can't believe it. It flies by. You know what? Let's take a call right now. We've got a caller from Wyoming. It's our dear friend Dave on line one. Dave, how you doing?
Oh, wonderful. Two quick things. You know, one, you were talking about that report and over 100 people.
Yeah.
Coming and going. My son lived in University Village as well. And I think those are 8 apartments per unit minimum, 3 floors, mm-hmm. and eight units per floor. So you're talking, what, 24 apartments times 4?
My goodness,
so
yeah.
You start running the numbers, 100 people in and out on a Saturday night with 19 to 20-somethings is not you know, I don't think it's that really out of line, all things considered, you know, when you take into consideration college life. And the other factoid I just heard was that Thomas Kitzhaber is leaving Macomb, Dakota, and joining Clarkson for his senior year.
Really? I did not see that.
And if that is true, well, that really stinks if you're, you know, you're Macomb, Dakota's coach and his potential teammates to lose a player like that. And maybe, you know, I don't know all the background of it. I can see why he might want to do that to play with his teammate, but wow.
Right.
It was kind of shocking. Thanks.
That is. Thanks for bringing that news to us, Dave. I did not see that story. We'll probably I'll have to do some research after the show and definitely bring that up on tomorrow's Current Sports. All right. Well, we have 3 minutes left. Throwback Thursday. What exactly happened on this particular date in sports history?
That the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, back over his stick. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots, yes. Goal! And there it goes! You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, so what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history? There are many, many events. I'll just pick a few here, Isaac. There are so many things that happened on this date, August 3rd, in sports history. I can go all the way back to 1852, the first intercollegiate rowing race in the United States of America, in which Harvard beats Yale by 4 lengths. How about that? In 1930, second time in 1930, Chuck Klein of the Philadelphia Phillies hits in 26 straight games. In 1933, the New York Yankees are shut out for the first time after 308 games. I'll fast forward to 1987. This one breaks my heart to say, but the Chicago Bears beat the Dallas Cowboys 17-6 in London, England. In 1989, the fifth jockey to win 6,000 races, Jorge Velasquez. And in 1990, for the third time in 1990, a no-hitter is broken up with two outs in the eighth inning. Doug Drabik of the Pittsburgh Pirates still beats the Phillies 11-0, though. And in 1991, the Pan Am Games open in Havana, Cuba. So many, though. I could do like a whole five-minute segment on events in sports history for August 3rd, but I won't bore you with the details, right? All right, we'll be back at it. Same time, same place. On Friday's Current Sports, keep it locked to Facebook.com/Current Sports for tonight's final day of Moneyball at AM High Sports Complex in Diamond Dale, Michigan. We'll have coverage for you. See you then, and be easy, people.